community radio also emerged at the same time as liberalization, often with the support of donors, because there's no differential licensing in most African countries. South Africa is an example, is an exception rather. But in countries like Uganda and Kenya, you're basically paying the same fees for your license for community radio as you are a private commercial station. And the lobby to have this change has been very, very slow and agonizing for those in community radio. When the space for community radio was created, two things happened. One, the stations were set up, often with donor support. But secondly, communities, for the first time, started to cross that digital divide. They started having this very important link to other parts of their country, to other communities, to their diaspora. And a great example is in northern Uganda, where Radio Freedom Gulu, which has now unfortunately changed its name to something a bit more commercial, Mega FM, was able to link up with Ugandans who were escaping the civil conflict, who were spread through Sudan, the Congo, and even as far as North America and Europe, and to use internet radio to connect its diaspora. So new forms of power and process for voice for African communities. The presence in terms of creating the stations was only half the battle. And as my colleague who's going to speak next on the Developing Countries Farm Radio Network, one of the big issues is that the station can be there, but what's playing on the air is often still in its infancy in terms of programming. And that communities have, not only have to, but are taking ownership of these airwaves and making up their own programs, and they're creating new ways of accessing information and sharing information for their own social change and environmental change processes. So it isn't a very dynamic, it's a very exciting area. Kenya has technically one, maybe two community radio stations across the whole country right now. Ugunja is coming into a very raw, a very new context. And I find it fascinating that Agri, after all these years, 20 years, and you're talking about a community resource center, that you're now talking about a community radio station as well. And I think the partnership with CKLN, being a campus community radio station here, is tremendously important. It's a model that has not perhaps been used as it should have around the world. So congratulations to everybody involved. And I can tell you that this is a part of the world that has been highly neglected. It's a very well-populated, and tremendously impoverished part of the world, that any effort in that direction is very important in terms of allowing the community, giving the community hope and voice, and moving into this millennium with a strong mandate for community radio. So congratulations, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Helen. Next, we get to introduce to you Charles Murfwell. He serves on the Developing Countries Farm Radio Network Board of Directors and many other board of directors. Getting people's bios for this event was amazing. People have been so involved and so dedicated to radio. Charles has traveled throughout Africa and much of Europe and Asia, facilitating workshops on sustainable development, social cultural dimensions, and the workforce and leadership development in Africa. We invite you to speak, Charles. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you. And first, I must apologize. I feel really out of place. I should have left work a little earlier to change and then to come here. But I must say I'm very happy to be here and very proud to be part of people who have actually decided to make time to think about other people and to support. And I say that because about 30 years ago, when George Atkins actually started Farm Radio, he had traveled to Zambia as part of his program with CBC to attend a Commonwealth conference on radio in Africa. And when he was traveling on a bus to his destination, he sat between two other broadcasters, one from Sierra Leone and one from Nigeria. And he asked them questions about what they actually talk about on their programs. one of them, the one from Nigeria, said he talked about herbicides and pesticides, and his question to him was, what about manure and things that your people have? And he said, well, this is the material we have, that's what we use. He turned and asked the guy from Sierra Leone, Abdul Sese, and asked him what he broadcasted on his radio network, and he said he talks about parts for tractors and things like that. And so his further question was, how many people own a tractor in the group you are broadcasting to? And he said, maybe 1 in 80,000. And he said, so how many people do you reach? And he said, oh, I mean, we reach about 800,000 people. So you can do the math and see he had the radio and he was broadcasting to only very, very few people, less than 20 people. He was using all that resources for that. The question as to why he did that was because that's what the state radio had provided, and that was the literature and the research and the information that he had done by whatever the Agricultural Research Department or Ministry had given them. But George did not leave it there. He asked the question, if you got some material from your own environment that was more relevant, would you use it? He said, oh, well, we don't have the money to do the research and all of that, but if somebody can do that, we'll definitely use it. And George didn't leave it there, and that is how the Developing Country Farm Radio Network started. And that is why I say I'm proud to be here, because I think most of you have something to do, something else to do, but you've made the time to be here, similar to the time that George made. And he didn't let it die. He did something after that. And I'm hoping that you do something after that as well. I'm from Africa. I'm from Ghana originally. So I can't speak without telling stories. That's the way we communicate. You know, and if you think about we talk about a digital divide and all of that, but when you think about most places in Africa, really the divide is people who have access to material they can read and people who have access to material they can hear, okay? Because if I'm in the rural areas and nobody has electrified that area, the only way I'm going to get connected to the outside world is through radio. And even if I am in the urban area, my electricity supply might not be consistent. Okay, so again, using radio is a consistent means. What DCFRN does is to provide material about farm practices, whether it's full storage or better crop production, or whether it's HIV/AIDS, or any other subject matter that is particular to the rural community that helps their health and improves their food production and their security. That is what DCFRN focuses on. And we cover we are in about 39 countries. We work with partners in about 39 countries in over 287 radio stations. And I find, when I joined the group about 2005, I was very, very happy and very proud that somebody actually thought about this. And the reason why I am proud of that is, it's not that the countries in Africa would want to neglect their rural community. It is that they don't have the voice. And when they get the voice, you must have the most relevant material. Having traveled in different parts of Africa and worked in different parts of Africa, I must say that sometimes it is very difficult to actually do your own research in your own little community and share it in your community. It is better to have broader information and share it across a network, and that is what DCFRN does. The other part is access, actually, to people, and access to that information can be very difficult. And if it is not done in a community that you are in, you might not resonate with actually the information, and it might not be relevant to you. So what DCFRN does is to partner with a number of radio stations where most of the content of the scripts we develop and send back from Africa, right now, 85% of it is actually written by people from the region and is customized to each radio station takes the material and they customize it so that it's relevant and it resonates with the people they serve. I think what I'll do now is just leave it, and maybe if we have time for questions, we can talk about them in more detail. But all I will say is, to add to what Helen and Elizabeth have said already, radio is very, very relevant. There are political connotations to it, but there is also survival to it in the rural communities, and this is a very viable means of reaching them. So anything we can do to support our friends with Radio Ugunja, that would be really very helpful. Thank you.
Next we have Sylvia and Rose and Pius Agriomandi, and I'm just gonna invite them to take a seat while we set up microphones in the front here. And then we're gonna do the presentation by the media. So first at the table, we have Sylvia Wambare. Sylvia began volunteering with the UCRC in the year 2000, mostly concerned with the Women's Forum programming and project administration. Currently, Sylvia is the UCRC administrator organizing at all levels the many projects of the UCRC. At the table, we also have Agriomandi, who is the executive director of the UCRC, and he has been with the UCRC since its inception in 1988. He has been instrumental in the running of the organization and coordinating its entire activities. At each level of the growth, he has facilitated the transition up to its recent registration as an NGO. And we have Rose Onich at the computer there, and she's giving a presentation as well. Thanks for your patience.
Good afternoon. My goodness, I was expecting a response. Oh, it's good evening, eh? Okay, so good evening. Okay, that is our culture, huh? Because I'm now convinced that I'm talking to people who are hearing and are with me. Thank you so much, Sarah, for that introduction. As you've heard, I'm Sylvia Wambare. I know the other name will be difficult to pronounce, but don't worry. Actually, as she has said, I work for the Ugunja Community Resource Center, and I'm very glad, I'm very impressed, I'm very happy to be with you today, actually to see all these people coming to join us see this project a success. I'm very grateful for the committee that actually has worked out this initiative to see that we prosper with it. And I thank Sarah for her ability to convince, to pick up this issue as we talked first time, I don't know whether it was our first day or second day in Canada. And actually we had this team together and we talked about community radio. And I think from there she got interested, as she has said. Thank you so much for that initiative. I think you'll keep up with that spirit and the rest will join you, as the rest have said. Actually, if we talk about community radio, as my colleagues have said, is a tool that we are seeing the organization will be in a position to use for advocacy. We address so many issues in the community, but you find the community around us is so oral. As if we talk about repackaging information, there'll be so much on listening rather than reading. Our community has not come up with the culture, the reading culture. Better we listen, and that is it. And that actually affects some of our projects and some of the initiatives that are around, because if I'm the president and I've read and I've shared that with the community, then that's all. So we need to replicate that and see that our community can get the good information. And we are not just talking about community radio for just anything. We want to address issues at the grassroots level, issues touching development. We don't want to be involved in politics, in mostly entertainment. And we don't want to be as commercial as other FMF have been around, because this is what is really making our community not to share their issues with others, because it is more of making money than addressing the real issue that is on the ground. Okay, I don't know how much time I have, Sarah. Okay. but we are so grateful for this gathering today. My colleagues are going to talk about the projects we do that will help us address all these issues in the community, and then why are we talking about the community radio. So I might talk the whole of this time, but I don't want to do so. So I'll invite Ross to talk about Tugunja Community Resource Center and what it does. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sylvia. Thank you so much, JHR, CKLN, and everyone that has been able to come out this evening to join us for the fundraising of a community radio, which we are looking into establishing in Ugunja. That is way back in Kenya, that we are going to know soon on what actually Ugunja means and what it does, and how we think that community radio is going to be the best tool that the community will get information on both their health issues, agricultural issues, and various issues that the organization handles in general. So straight away, I'll introduce where Ugunja is situated. There is Africa over there, and there's a small spot which is marked black where Kenya is. And within Kenya, we based in the western side of Kenya. And down there, that is Siaya District, which has a population of about half a million people. That is where the organization is based. So our area of scope is within Siaya District, which has a population of a half a million. That is the space in which our Ugunja Community Resource Center used to operate in from the year 1992 to the year 2003, but now everything else has changed. And for those who were there this year, Heidi and Helen Hubley, as she said, some things have changed, and we have all the discs up on the roof, and things are beginning to change, and Ugunja is beginning to be in the world map. That is Ugunja Market. That is where we are situated, and we are right in the market. So this was a typical day that the community members were coming to buy in products and to sell in products in the market. The vision of organization is we are looking into having a community that is sustainable, a community that is equitable, and a community that is empowered with all these projects and activities we are doing within that community. The mission of the organization is to facilitate sustainable development within the community through exchange of knowledge and ideas and skills within the different communities. Our motto since the year 2004 have been a working community, in that a community where everyone else is included, and we help to identify human potential of everyone in the community. Our working theme this year, that is 2006, is local action is beautiful, in that we've been working with foreign and local volunteers to work together with the ideas that the community have, not to initiate new ideas, so that at least whatever is there, we are able to build on, and it's of the benefit of the communities. So we work with local farmers, we work with groups, we work with individuals on key issues that affect them, which include food security in the area, health, shelter, water, education, environment, peace and democracy, income, governance, and sustainable development in general. The history of organization, it was founded in 1988, firstly as a farmers group where 10 members came together and saw a need of generating information amongst themselves to help them on what they are doing in their day-to-day situations, and to share experiences and ideas. So the group kept on growing since 1988 until in 1992 it grew bigger, and there was a need to register it as a community-based organization within Siaya District in Western Kenya. So since 1992, after it registered at the CBO, there was a need also for the organization to register as a non-governmental organization, in that there are more needs coming out from the community that they would like to participate in the programs and activities that were being run at UCSC. But as a CBO, you are only allowed to operate within a scope of a small area, so it was registered as an NGO in the year 2004, and up to now we are operating as a non-governmental organization, so which provides access to information and development programs for the alleviation of poverty in the Western region. Why UCRC? Why do we exist? UCRC exists because it's one, addresses issues of access to information. As since its initiation, it realizes that there was an information gap within the community's members themselves and the research institutes and other universities, for example, that the information were up there, but the community were unable to access. So that is why UCRC exists, to bridge that gap of information. Like, for example, if we are saying radio will be used now as a tool to enable the community members to access information that exists within the government offices, research institutions, and other institutions within the country and outside the country. Secondly, UCSC exists to address food security area issues. We find that in Western Kenya, we have a great challenge of food insecurity. You find that within a period of 12 months, the community can only provide themselves with food for 4 months. So you find the rest 8 months they're going hungry. So UCSC exists to provide some technologies which can help the community find other means of getting food that can sustain them within the year. And then UCSC also exists to address diseases, which is also a challenge within the rural communities, especially the HIV/AIDS, which is now on a high rate in the rural communities because of various issues like the cultures and the traditions and the lack of awareness. And radio now, as an advocacy tool, will help to address issues of HIV/AIDS, and the community will be aware of what's happening around them. And UCSUS exists to address issues of apathy. We realized that most members in the community had sat back not to involve themselves in development issues, saying that they don't have knowledge, they don't have skills, they don't have anything. But UCSC is existing to encourage them that as much as they don't have skills, they have some human potential that can be developed, and they can be part and parcel of community development in their own areas. Then we have the dependency syndrome. Since our independence, we've realized that Kenya, for example, as a country, we've been receiving food aids, so many aids and donations that now people feel they can't produce anything for themselves unless they get aids. So we are existing to bridge that gap, that as much as there is food aids and other aids, it's not very sustainable, and they need to do some things for themselves which is more sustainable. On the photograph, you can see members of UCSC staff and the foreign volunteers. And that is during a UCSC retreat, the year 2005. So we sat together to share ideas and experiences. Women issues and issues on HIV/AIDS and persons living with disability. So if you want to get more information, you can visit our website on what exactly we do under those projects. We have also other affiliate projects in that they were initiated by UCSC, and now they're out there autonomous running on their own, but with some support and direction from UCSC. So we have a project on healthcare, and we have a project on community high school. We have a project on technical institute, and we have a project on early childhood development where we get in volunteers, both foreign and local, to come and work with us. UCSC main focus. As I had said before, UCSC believes that in human potential. So we strive to maintain human dignity. We strive to reduce absolute poverty. Yeah, you know, we cannot eradicate poverty as though the Millennium Development Goals think so, by the year 2015, we are not going to have any more poverty. But it's either yes or no at the same time. So we promote innovations, diversity, and more effective learning in communities. We ensure effective integration of gender, youth, children, and other key themes in our work and behaviors. Life in Ugunja. So this is just one of the activities that Ugunja involves youths in so that they are kept busy. Ugunja Market. And this is a picture of one of the work we do in sustainable agriculture, like providing seeds to the farmers so that they're able to get seedlings and they're able to get crops by the end of the season. Those are mothers taking care of their children, getting some skills and knowledge on how to provide good nutrition for their children and how to help them have education as well. The local challenges that are faced within the area that we work with are low soil fertility, low household food security, as I mentioned before, lack of income for investment, which is low, degradation of land resources and biomass energy, like through brick making and such stuff, make the soils really get poor. Issues of HIV and AIDS, which are on the higher side. Issues of unpredictable weather conditions. Issues of attitude, issues of high mortality rate, increased school dropout rates, and issues around malnutrition for the children. And these are photos to show that. Action points from the challenges. You still see things like always sit down and find a focus on where it wants to go. So our focus will be on soil fertility and agricultural options that can help increase the soil fertility, farmer training, microcredit facilities, marketing supports, information sharing and documentation, community learning resource centers, in that initiating other resource centers apart from Ugunja so that people can access information wherever they are. Healthcare services, children, which is under education and social support for the children, and IT training for everybody, both the young and the aged in the community. So those are pictures from some of the events and activities that happens at UCSC with the farmers and the children and and the people living positively with HIV/AIDS. So far, UCSC, since its initiation, it has had some achievements and it's continuing to have some achievements. So far, UCSC has existed for over 20 years. It's now close to 20 years by the year 2008. UCSC has established network and partners both within the country and outside the country. UCSC has relevant training programs which address the needs of the community. UCSC has earned trust of the community. UCSC has trained many community farmers so that the skills are disseminated everywhere in the community. And UCSC has accelerated various technologies for the community to use. So these are some of the pictures of the achievements that UCSC has had. And then finally, we encourage everybody to work with UCSC. So there are various ways in which you can work with UCSC. You can volunteer your expertise, you volunteer your professional skills, you can in community healthcare, in sustainable agriculture, in community learning resource center, and in ICT field. And you are also welcome to donate any amount to support UCSC for child sponsorship program and education, HIV AIDS care and support program, sustainable agriculture program, and you're also welcome to exchange ideas with us on sustainable development in general. So with the many, many remarks, I want to thank you all for listening, and now I'll invite Agri to talk briefly on why we think community radio is an important tool for the projects and the programs that are being run in UCSC. So welcome.
May I ask your permission to stand? Is it okay?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, good. Are we? How is it going? Are you okay?
Yes.
The energy has not gone down.
Thank you. It's too loud again. I don't want to repeat what my colleagues have said. Since I started listening, there's been quite a lot of information, professional, technical advice. I don't know. I can't remember all, but I really thank all the speakers who have come and shared with us. My colleague said he's from Africa and we like telling stories. Yesterday, I had a gathering like this. We had a very good time. And I was sharing about one of us who was here last year and beginning of this year. This is Charles. Some of you might have met him. And then, I said, this is my half-brother. And then he was trying, this lady was trying to ask me, half-brother? Yes, I said yes. And I said, you know, my father had three wives. And my mother is the eldest, and then Charles' mother is the second, and then the third. And she said, how do you entertain that? Then I said, listen, you have not heard. There is one with 100 wives. How do you like that? If you Google, just go to your computer and Google, and you'll find there's a Kenyan named Akuku Denja. Akuku Denja has 100 wives. The last one came in 3 weeks ago, and she's 18. How do you like that? Good. Is it a human rights issue?
I think it's a stamina issue.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know why? That's life in Africa. And today, we are also bringing you into the house of the last wife. And okay, the new wife of UCRC. This is the community radio. With due respect, that's how it is. We have had all these programs, and now we are having a new one. And that's how polygamy works, isn't it? Because people are asking, why all these programs? Why all these sustainable agriculture, this and that and the other? And we say, yeah, that's good. That's part of us. That's why we are Africans. But it is good. I want to bring you to where we are and why. Maybe just to underscore what my colleagues have said. Yes, I met Helen Humbley in 86. That was long time ago. I was starting to get involved in the community development initiatives. And since then, we have just been moving from one thing to the other. And as my colleagues who have spoken before me have said, I believe in one thing, not money. Money is a tool, yes, it's good for development. But I tell you, it is one of those tools that create more problems in the world than anything else. I don't know if I am the only one who have realized that. Over the years in my work in community development, even those organizations that we started with who focused on money, they are not there. Money is what is dividing the world, is every wealth and all that. I believe in networking. And so today is not fundraising. Today is resource mobilization. Because if I talk of resource, I know human, is humans part of resource? Yeah, so when I meet friends like this, I know we'll be together the next year, the following year, and all that. You give me money today, tomorrow is gone. And so you want me to account for that money, what we call the bookkeeping success stories, where I give you very good audited report, and I say, good, we have done it. Look at the impact, it's not there. Why? Just because we related with you only on money. But if we have that kind of relationship, human relationship, that's what we really need. And that's what has brought us this far. Over the years, we have hosted over 200 volunteers coming from different countries. Aman is there from through CCI, and Heidi is here. Those are those who have come through us, who have come and worked with us. We have others back home when I came. And that's why I really need to appreciate the work that CCI has done with us, because CCI has encouraged networking, and we have come this far just because of CCI. Last year, I met Ben. Ben Peterson?
Hi.
Oh. Now you see, I can't even remember your face, but I met you. We were together in a forum in here in Toronto, and we discussed, and he shared with me his vision, and we said, good. Then later on, I met Daniel. Daniel must be here also.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, here. Yeah. And you know, for the first time last year when I came here, I spoke over the radio, and that was great. Because in Kenya, you don't just walk into a radio station and you are given airtime, never. So I come to Canada, CKLN host me, and I speak and say, good. Then I go to University of Guelph, the invitation of Heidi, and there I'm also, just like that, so simple. And then I go to Ottawa, up there, and again, there I am. I said, oh, so I'm becoming a celebrity in Canada. And I said, why don't I take this thing home? Yeah, because then I will have my grandfather, my aunt to speak over. Yeah, because that's great. I don't want to lose their voice. I want to hear even my grandchildren to hear their voice. What can do that better is a community radio. We are documenting case studies, indigenous knowledge. We are documenting different information on or sustainable development, because we have those ideas that have lived with us for quite a long time, which the colonialists came and said, you know, you Africans, all these things, these are primitive. Civilization comes from us. And created something called money. You know, money, why we sometimes come to the West for money, because money was created here, you know? Money was created here. Ideas were created in Africa. And the rest, yeah, it's true. I'm not saying that there are no ideas here. But there's this one tool called money. So all the time they said, you wait, we want to support you, we want to give you money, so do this. Turn left, and then, okay, you have turned left, turn right. Go backward, go forward. Hey, you get confused, you don't know which direction to follow. So at the end of the day, it's just because somebody wants to give you money. But we are saying now community radio is going to give us that opportunity to document information, to document all those indigenous knowledge that we are losing, because HIV/AIDS is claiming the lives of so many of us. Those people with lots of information, political, agricultural, health, whatever. This is the opportunity for that information to be shared, because there's no other way. In our community, we are oral. Talk of books, you put them there, as much as you have the information, nobody will care. Take a newspaper, you read hot politics, sports, stars, and that's it. Any other useful information? No. In my village, I wake up in the morning, and that's what I miss here. Village gossips, eh? First thing, I meet somebody, you say, oh, you know what, this happened, that happened, and that's great. And this is what we are talking about. So here we are, and I want to appreciate this opportunity that we are having today, that we are connecting with you, not because of the fundraising. I want to invite you to an opportunity of learning. For example, if this opportunity today can help you to connect with us on a particular project, let's work on that. You will benefit, we'll benefit. we have contributed to the knowledge of so many. Those volunteers who have come through us, some as students, I tell you, if they tell you their stories, it's different. I know if I can quote maybe two or three. One of them is at the University of Harvard. He came when he didn't know exactly what he wants to do. He had ideas, he had gone to school, but then with the interaction, our contribution to his knowledge, he's now a medical student at Harvard because we developed ideas together. And most of the time, we would even recommend him for scholarships and things like that. One of them is working with the UN on small arms control. When he came, nobody knew that he would really make it. And several others, we can tell stories. So we want to contribute also to your future as much as you also contribute to our future. That, I'm saying, horizontal partnership. So in this, I have some slide footage there to let you know some of the, I mean, two examples of what we are doing and why it is important to talk about human rights. Personally, I sit in a national commission that is looking into a national policy on peace building. And because we realize that Kenya is undergoing a transition and there's a lot of conflicts from the family to national issues. And there is one thing that is missing is the policy. So at the end of the day, as we continue into this partnership, we are looking into those ideas and people who can really work with us towards sustaining some of the activities. If you come to us, there is always something for you to do. So this partnership, as you gather here, we want you to always, always be part of us. If not directly, you can visit our website and get the information. We are also having a mailing list, which you can also subscribe to. Sorry, let me. Sorry, I think you must have missed it somewhere, but I'll get it. So I don't want to take much of your time, just to thank you so much for your being here and to invite you to be part of this this process. We hope that by end of next week when we go back to Kenya, we'll share the experiences. I really feel honored by the support that I've seen. People have contributed items here for sale, for raffles and everything else, food. You have found time to come and share with us. So thank you so much and be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you so much to all of our speakers. Now we have a really exciting performance by Adam Solomon coming up. And I've been really looking forward to this for the last month. Just please, 10 minutes? Really? Okay, that's great. So let's just take 10 minutes to get to know each other a little bit better and eat some cookies and drink some juice. And then we have a great performance coming up.
One, two, two, okay.